Please turn to the Gospel of Mark. Not sure how many years ago we started going verse by verse through this Gospel. It's been several, I'm sure. We don't rush. But we do now find ourselves today in the last chapter. There are only 16 chapters in Mark. Every verse is rich. But if you would stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word, we're going to go through Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. And when the Sabbath was come, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy grace to attend us now as we prepare to listen to the Word of God, listen to the Lord, what he would say to us, how we should live, how we should think, what we should do. Oh Lord, the times in which we live, they mystify us, they're remarkable, they're strange. We have such varying reports of what constitutes truth. We have some of the most vile and repugnant offenses against the holy standards of God, confusion, illogic. And yet we know God is still the same, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Scriptures teach one thing clearly, it is that we can have deep peace as we trust in God, regardless of the culture in which we live. But we do live in a strange time, and we do pray that we would comprehend how we should then live. And we pray, Lord, for the various burdens represented here, people who are here, and by extension, their families and their neighbors. Oh, how we all need to find the victory and the deliverance and a sweet fellowship and the abiding hope that comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. We confess ourselves to be a people desperately in need of the Lord to do a work in us, because he who trusts in his own heart, the Bible says, is a fool. But rather we would yield ourselves unto thee as those who are alive from the dead, and our bodies as instruments of righteousness to be used for thy glory. So, Lord, our interest today is that God would be glorified, the Word of God would be accurately, powerfully, impactfully addressed today, and may it be used to reach our hearts for God. If there are souls here gathered who do not know Christ as Savior, who are not born again, whether they recognize it or not, we pray that you would, as you did with others, open their hearts that they might believe the gospel. Now, please, God, bless us and guide us as we go through this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've gone back to the old projector for a day. Our topic is 5 uncommon observations at the tomb, Mark 16, 1 through 8. They're common observations, and they're just some other things I'd like to share. Given the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and given that Christ is seen on every page, I trust there's much that we can observe and principles we can apply just by looking at these first 8 verses. So that's our goal. And the first observation is this. Those healed most serve best. This is Charles Bernard is the one who wrote, "Give of your best to the master." By the way, that's the same family name for the old rugged cross, Onward Christian Soldiers, and then this hymn. All Bernards wrote these. And the encouragement is, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor, which means enthusiasm, into the battle for truth. Mary D. James has written, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. That's a mindset of someone who's been healed most. Now, this does not necessarily mean that that person needed more healing than other people, but who experiences it to a depth, who comprehends how far down, how sick, how hopeless that soul was and now has been delivered. So there's appreciation of the depth of healing the most can compel a person to be the best of servants. And I think that the good illustration of that is Mary Magdalene. But let's remember, Mary Magdalene was a person who, well, she was a house of wickedness. She had 7 demons living inside of her. And she was down and low and loathsome and self-loathing and hopeless. By the way, perhaps you read this. The CDC has come out with quite a report, Centers for Disease Control, concerning the emotional stability of youth, saying that some 57% of all girls see life as hopeless. And between 20 and 30% are actively planning suicide. Absolutely incredible, the disposition of people today. Well, I would guess that Mary Magdalene would be that side. She was hated by others, and I think hated herself. She was black in sin, deep, ugly, awful sin. Jesus says in Luke 7:47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. So that didn't earn the forgiveness, but it's a response to the forgiveness. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Some people don't realize they need to be forgiven a lot. They may think of themselves as needing forgiveness, but not in the same category as some of these awful sinners there, because they've never done this sin, never done that sin, never done this sin. And we would encourage people not to do bad sins, of course. But there is something that the Puritans called the descent. The need for every soul to descend down and see the blackish, deep, awful, repugnant sinfulness before God. Everyone, whoever he or she is. It's necessary to do that if one is to rise up and serve God as he or she should. There's a short story written by Nathaniel Hawthorne, called Young Goodman Brown. Maybe some of you have read it. But it pictures this idea of a descent where young Goodman Brown, he goes out into this forest, and in time he sees there are the deacons and there's the Sunday school teacher and there's even his own wife, and they're doing these wicked things out there. And he comes back, runs away from those people, goes back to camp, and he's crying out, despairing over the corruption that he's seeing in all the pillars of his faith. But his trouble was he ended up just depressed and disconsolate because he did not have a complete descent. What he saw in them, true. What he saw in them, perhaps true, there too. But he didn't see it in himself. Each one of us, by the grace of God, must be led to see. We need healing. And those who see it most may serve best. Paul speaks of his enlightenment as to his own sinfulness in Romans 5:20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He didn't know how offensive he was to God until the Spirit spoke to him through the law of God. He said, I did not know my lust until I had explained to me, thou shalt not covet. But see, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Those healed most serve best. Serve in a manner where they live to give honor to the one who delivered them. When we arrive in heaven for all eternity, we read in Revelation 5, verses 11 and 12, this is what's going to be said there. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You rise up and think, this is why I live now, to see honor ascribed to Jesus Christ. We can serve him honorably. In the case of what happens here in in Mark chapter 16, it's kind of a curious thing. I don't really have the answer for it for sure. But she, Mary Magdalene, wants to honor the Lord Jesus' body by preparing it in a respectful fashion for burial. The trouble is, there's sort of been two attempts or succeeding in already having that body anointed. Remember, Mary of Bethany did it before his death. An act of faith, she believing that there wouldn't be time to anoint him after the death because he was going to rise again. But also we have this in John chapter 19. The body's already been treated. John 19, 39 and 40. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. And these are wealthy people who did this. The commentators say 100 pounds of that. Take a pack mule to haul all of it, and it would take an incredible amount of money to purchase all this. They've already done it upright. They've already taken the body off of the cross, and they have washed it and cleaned it and treated it with 100-pound weight of myrrhs and aloes, and have then wound it in linen clothes, and have taken it to the grave. So what's with Mary, who wants to do this, let's go honorably, when it's already been done? And I don't really know for sure. Some think that maybe it's one of those deals where, you know, let's say a guy tries to do the laundry and he doesn't fold it right, so then the wife comes and refolds it and does it the right way. And maybe she thought she could most honorably treat the body of Christ. Maybe they had better spices. Maybe they wanted to add to it. It's hard to say for sure. Maybe there is less than perfect motivation on her part. Maybe it's a matter of competition. First one there, last one leaves. It's part of this thing as to who gets to be the nearest to the Lord Jesus. But whatever it is, the Lord blesses it, blesses that heart, and that she lives now for Christ. She lives for him. And so she wants to honor him there, even his body in the tomb. And that's part of why she rises early. We read in Mark 16 and verse 2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. You see, Mary, where the first thing she thinks of when she rises up, honor to Christ, give him honor. And the Psalm 63:1 does say, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. If we have been healed much by the Lord, we rise and the first thought in our mind is giving God honor, seeking His face. So they heal him. Those healed most serve best. They serve him honorably, early, and bravely. We read in John 19:38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. This was not an easy thing to do. The Romans could have said, oh, you're part of that same conspiracy? Well, we'll arrest you too. Or if the Jewish leadership saw, who knows what they would have done. So part of healing and serving best is courage. Consider how all this applies to this Mary Magdalene. Remember, she's the first person that Jesus chooses to show himself to after the resurrection. She's the one who stays by his side from the beginning to the end. He honors her in a very special way. Listen to this poem. Not she, with traitorous kiss her master stung. Not she denied him with unfaithful tongue. She, when apostles fled, could dangers brave. Last at his cross, and earliest at his grave. That's something to put on the monument in your cemetery. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? Last at his cross, earliest at his grave. So those healed most tend to serve best. If a person in your family, if you find yourself not really driven to serve Jesus Christ honestly, quickly, honorably, then it might be good to pray that God brings you to comprehend more and more deeply how in your sin nature, you've offended God. Even your righteousnesses were filthy rags. See if it leads you to see how great was his salvation, and how motivated you are now to serve him. So now a second observation. Lowest service tends to bring with it the highest blessings of revelation and of comfort and of ministry. We'll take those one by one. Jesus says, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Matthew 23:11. Greatness is ascribed to those who are the lowliest servants. So we read of the Lord Jesus in the familiar words of Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, something to grasp after, something to cleave to be equal with God in all the opportunities and freedoms that come with being God fully, but made himself of no reputation, made himself a nothing, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So we see here Mary Magdalene, willing to do anything to bless him, any service. It's an ignominious thing in some ways to treat this body. It's a body of one she loved. It's bruised and battered and pierced, and she has to clean it and do all the things related to it. But she's willing to do anything. No challenge, no assignment too low, too lowly, too simple. Beneath us. No, those who have a mindset of a slave, God may bless the highest. In terms of revelation, as I mentioned, she's the one who has the angel revealed to her, and then she's the first one, even before Peter, even before the apostles, to see Christ. He appears first to Mary. So she gets the revelation of the resurrected Christ, and she also gets to see an angel. In fact, there are more than one angel. In the Gospel of Mark, you read there's an angel sitting there. But you read the other Gospels, you find there's a second angel too. Just the one that spoke, and that's the one that's recorded here. But Mary, willing to do anything, look at the special revelation that God blesses her with. Seeing an angel, seeing the resurrected Christ. And by the way, this afternoon we're going to look at angels, what the Bible has to say about them, if you can stay for the 1 o'clock service. A comfort. This, to me, is one of the most beautiful verses. Mary's very upset. She doesn't recognize Jesus. She wants to know, the grave's empty. You know, where did they take the body? And Jesus says something to her. He says, Mary. And she sees who he is. Her eyes are open. He says, Rabboni. And she goes to hug him, and he said, no, I haven't ascended yet to heaven, so not yet. But see the comfort that comes when Jesus says to her, her name. And then he doesn't leave her without something to do. Give me something to do. What can I do at this point? And he says, okay, I want you to go and tell the disciples what you've seen and what you've heard. So she receives revelation, she receives comfort and a ministry. Willing to do anything for the Lord, she gets all these blessings. So we've seen at the tomb, those healed most serve best. And the lowest service often brings the highest blessings. Third observation, weakness is strength. Let's introduce the concept first. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in his own sicknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Paul writes, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 2 Corinthians 13 and 4. What a blessing when the Lord removes from us any sense of our own sufficiency. We don't look at our pedigree, we don't look at our education, we don't look at the talents that we may or may not have. But we find ourselves not trusting in anything we are or have acquired, but only in the power of the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing in some ways to have a degenerative, advancing neural disease that cannot be reversed, because it causes you more and more and more to throw yourself on the Lord if anything is going to be accomplished for good. He says, we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Physically, there is a need for strength. It's a curious thing, a wondrous thing. They're going over there, they just want to get to the grave. But never mind, there's a bunch of Roman soldiers there and the seal of Rome on the tomb, and there's this great stone. They just go, and they'll find out when they get there what happens. What happens? The Lord sent this remarkable local earthquake. It's right there, and with the angel's work, the tomb is open. And this so freaks out the Roman guard, they run away. So the Lord just takes care of them. They had no strength in themselves, these ladies did, to remove that stone. You know, one time I was in, I think I may have mentioned this to some of you before, I was in a pastor's meeting out in California, and a pastor there was sharing how they had an earthquake roll through their area where they lived, and their house was fine, except that those glass shelves that had all his athletic trophies and awards, that fell down and crashed. It's something how the Lord knows how to humble us, and if we have any confidence in anything, it's in the Lord and him only. As I mentioned to some of you, when I was in high school, I was a pretty high achiever as far as the things I was involved in and awards and that kind of stuff. So then when the annual came out at the end of the year, I turned back to my name. It's blank. Nothing is listed there of all those things that were accomplished. My mother was in charge of the annual. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But I've seen this in so many ways. God has worked in my life to humble me and humble me and humble. Get that descent. Go down, 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 lower. And realize if anything gets accomplished to any of us, it wasn't due to our superior intellect or training or rhetoric or devices. It is the Lord. Not by might, he says, nor by... See, not by might, nor by... What's the notice of the next part? Just get my mind. See, here I am, weak. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He is the one who accomplishes all things. That's true physically. That's true spiritually. Here are these folks. They are frightened. They are trembling. They are amazed. Yet God takes them from that condition and gives them comfort. So, we're going to have five observations. The first is that those, they aren't necessarily healed the most, but they perceive their healing as being the most. Those who are taken up to their high self-confidence, down to having no confidence in themselves, those are the ones that God says, now I have you where I can use you. God will resist the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble comes from the word humus, which means dirt. And we know we're nothing, but God took us out of the dirt and formed us, and to the dirt we shall return. Those healed most serve best. Secondly, the lowest service can lead to the highest blessings. We humble ourselves, God will lift us up. Thirdly, we saw weakness. Recognizing our weakness is strength, because then the power of God is exercised through us. Fourth insight, seekers find. Oh, there's a few things more important than for you and me to develop the skill and to be asked for the grace to be a seeker as God designs seeking. You see, we read here in Mark 16, verse 7, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, you seek him which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. You seek, you shall find. That's the part of the blessing I found as I read this text. Are you a seeker of Jesus Christ? Not about him, not his history, not his blessings as a consequence, but the person himself. Oh, for our soul to be fixated on the person of Christ himself, whatever happens. All for Jesus, all from Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts, all my words, all my doings, all my days, and all my hours. I rise up early, and I seek him to give him honor, and him only. This is what they did, and so they're told, you seek him, you'll find him. Now, we are told in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 4:29, this is throughout the whole Bible, this truth prevails. If thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So it has to be a complete and legitimate and sincere one by the grace of God. And so you go to Proverbs chapter 2. These first five verses are so wonderfully instructive in that same principle. Proverbs 2 verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments in thee. See, it starts with a respect for the Word of God. Be a receiver of it, a memorizer of it, and meditating upon it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt find good success. Then thou shalt prosper all thy ways. Joshua 1:8. And so we need to be respecters of the Word of God, and of God of the Word. He says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thy heart to understanding. I was talking with a person last night at our banquet where he said, you know, times are so desperate in which we live. Who knows what a day might bring, what might burst forth? Who knows how much time you and I have left to exercise hope and faith and love in this corrupted planet? And he said, and so to spend time listening to this drivel or to that insignificant truth. And now there's a time to recreate, but to instead choose to be bathed in the Word of God and the truths of God and the teachings of God, so much wiser, so much more in keeping with a sincere person who truly seeks Jesus Christ first. So if you will receive my words, hide my commandments in thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understandings, if thou seek her for silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. We read about the great gold rushes of the past, 1849, in that era there to California. You know, if you lived on the East Coast and you try to go on the West Coast, California, how do you get there? At that time, it might be a matter of walking or taking a horse or wagon train or something for thousands of miles. It might take years and all kinds of desperate dangers. But some chose instead to go by boat. Well, you got to go down the East Coast. If you're on the East Coast, go all the way down south and around Florida, on Gulf of Mexico, or around South America. All very dangerous. You spend all your money to go on such a travel. It will take years and probably get sick and die of beriberi or something else. It's awful. Well, there's no train, there's no car, there's no airplane. People sold everything they had, gave all away, whatever they had to do, and traveled for years at great risk, just hoping they can find some gold. Same thing happened in the later 1800s, 1870s and so on, in the Black Hills of South Dakota. People left everything, faced huge dangers because they wanted to find that gold. Now, that's just gold. Then you get the Klondike gold rush there up in northwestern Canada, just across the border from Alaska. They say over 100,000 men from all over the world went and braved the winters and mountains and dangers going all the way up there. Oh, it's terrible conditions. And of those hundred thousands of people who went, there might be somewhere around 40 who came away with a wealth saved. But people do amazing things. And so he says here, here's the parallel. You seek her like people seek silver. And search for her as people search for hid treasures. And one time for the youth here on this Wednesday night, I hid some money around the previous church building we were in. And they had it. Well, when they found out there was money out there, they you should have seen them go. You remember that? Some of you were here. I mean, they just went wild looking at everything, hunting, because it was there. And they find it. It could be theirs. This is how we must seek the Lord. You do this. Then shalt thou understand what the fear of the Lord, reverence for God, is. And you'll find, you will find the knowledge of God. So observations at the tomb, those healed most, they perceive most of their healing. One time, I know a young man, along with some other people in his marching band from a small town here, went off to Huron, marched in a parade, and they did some bad things and stole some things out of businesses. Well, the band director, and he found out about it days later, rounded up those juveniles and took them to every place where something was stolen, apologized, and had us pay back. Us. And he told the people afterwards, the band member told the thieves, you are so fortunate, you have no idea how close you were for having the manager of that store calling the police. And it sunk more deeply into the hearts of these young people. What they dodged and what could have been their fate. And I'm saying that those who are healed the most understand more and more the heat of hell and the awfulness of being cast out of the presence of God for eternity and just how great has been our offense. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Those who realize this by the revelation of God may find themselves to be the most faithful servants, as was the case with Mary Magdalene. Those healed most serve best. Those who are willing to do anything God says to do. The lowest thing, the most unrecognized, the most diminished as far as our personal sense of usefulness. The lowest service, God will lift up to the highest blessings. So that's the mind of Jesus Christ who made himself a nothing. God hath lifted up. 3, weakness is strength. We recognize only not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. There's that verse. We trust in his spirit and not in our own strength, mentally, physically, every way. 4, seekers find. But you know what? You've got to be seeking with all your heart. And I don't know if we can do that, save it by God. We always get back to God's grace, right? There's that old saying, it isn't quite parallel. What is that? A girl chases a guy until he catches her. Well, we seek the Lord, but we will find him when he chooses to reveal himself to us. We don't miss that component of the willingness of God and his desire to be found. And so it's a work in process. Seekers find. And then finally, Jesus exceeds expectations. In his rising, They didn't expect that. Where'd he go? Where's his body? Why is the tomb empty? Even though he told them he would rise. So he exceeds their expectations. He is risen. He is not here. And he exceeds them in this proceeding. You know, where are we going to find him? We've got to do things to move him ahead. He's way ahead of you already. He's already descended into the abode of the dead. He's already declared taken captivity captive. He's already presented his blood up in glory. Paradise has been moved from the abode of the dead. Now it's up in glory. All this stuff has been done while they were just making preparations. So he's way ahead of you. And he amazes them. They trembled and were amazed. And so I'm going to conclude just by reminding you, just by reading these verses. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, if we could get Mary Magdalene here to give a testimony today, I expect that's part of what she would say. I was expecting this, got this. I expected that, got this. You can't figure out. It's not in your mind. You haven't heard it. It's not in your heart. The things that he does, it's so far above everything you've asked or heard. I say that. I came here just before the service began. I thought, I got to add this text. The Queen of Sheba, right? She comes to see Solomon, and now she gives her report to Solomon. She said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Behold, she says, the half was not told me. Trust me, you come to Christ, you come to know him. The others go, what is it? And you say, it's so much more. He is so much more. I anticipated this, but then there's all this rest stuff. It's wondrous. The half has not told me. And so we have this benediction in Ephesians 3:20-21, where he says, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May we pray. Oh Lord, every word of God is true. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And what a pleasure it is to see Christ in all these pages and all these verses, and learning principles which can be applied to transform us, to change us more and more and more from having corrupted minds to having the mind of Christ. And, oh Lord, the truths which we see here and what have been explained today, may they be truths that we testify of and that we embrace and that we instruct others so that God would receive glory. And if there are souls here who have not trusted in Christ yet, would this not be the day? Would you please open the heart and humble the soul so that he or she calls out, cries out to God to save them by the blood of Jesus Christ? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.